Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there. Welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. A very special episode because instead of being on our Google phones all across the country, we're actually in the same goddamn room this time, so I can stare at these dopey bitches when I call them my best friends in the world, Randy and Justin. How you doing, Justin, first?
I am fabulous. Thank you,
Randy. How you doing?
I am lovely. How are you?
We're going to auto-tune the shit out of that.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I got we got Justin coming down from the frigid Pacific North. Is that what you guys call it? The Northwest?
Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest. Is that
fucking
what it's called?
Hippies, yeah.
And we got Randy. I mean, Randy's only like 20 minutes away, but he still made the trek in the middle of the night. So
in the rain, no less.
Oh, yeah, it's raining for once.
Yeah, and we're in Southern California.
What you guys call rain.
Yeah. It's like end of times over here, and Justin's like, it's like beach weather.
This isn't bad right now. You should have been here last week.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
I heard tales.
It Dogs was like
we're no longer in a drought.
Yeah, it's like a 2012 movie.
Yeah, we went from the entire state of California in a drought to like 86% of the state is no longer in a drought.
Dude, I know. I drove through like the hills over by Brea, and it's all green and lush and beautiful.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, we had to have John Cusack come bail us out in a fucking
come
limo.
With a plane and limo.
In the limo.
Limo that turns into a plane or whatever the fuck.
And Woody Harrelson's in it for like a couple minutes, and then he just dies.
Oh, yeah, but he was good. He was a crazy man in the Yellowstone.
Yeah, he was the conspiracy theorist that was correct.
Yeah, the one of those. They're out there.
There's like 50 of them, and he got the one that was right.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we had a big game yesterday, a little football contest where the Patriots won. Yay. So I know you guys are busy folks. Did you guys catch anything of the Super Bowl?
I was at Disneyland.
So, no.
Yeah.
I was not at Disneyland, but I did not watch the game either, though.
It's actually a really good game. Oh. Like, it was... Like, the Patriots were down by, like, 600 points, and everyone was like, oh, good, they get what they deserve. And then Tom Brady scored, like, 31 unanswered points, and they won in overtime.
Yeah, so we were following on our phones while we were in line.
It was pretty good. It was, like, 4 minutes left, and they were, like, two touchdowns behind. I'm like, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And they did it.
There are a lot of changes at Disneyland. I haven't been since I moved to Seattle, so 6 years.
You got all the Star Wars stuff now.
A lot of Star Wars.
I went on Saturday, the day before you did, and that was my first time going in a couple of years myself.
My biggest thing was Space Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain, yeah. Hyper. I wasn't prepared for the Star Wars setting that now has.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of shit going on while the ride's pretty quick.
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot of stuff projected on the walls.
Yeah, a lot of dips. And it was kind of hard to keep track of what was happening. Now you jump into the middle of a space battle. But for me, I always enjoyed the slow ride up at the beginning with that strobe light and just all the crazy, and then flying through and just seeing all the different things that the cosmos has to offer, the different galaxy clusters, the comets, what have you. And that sort of piqued my interest as a child as to what's out there as far as outer space goes. And I don't know, now it's a different vibe completely.
Well, it's not going to stay that way permanently. That's just a temporary thing. They're calling it the season of the Force, so it will go back to the
but
way
it
that it was.
It was supposed to go back last May. Like, it was supposed to go through last May, and now we're eight months later.
True, but number one, I'm glad they did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to see it. And number two, I think they're biding their time until the new Star Wars land is done.
Yeah,
so they just want to have some large Star Wars presence there. And it's funny that you mentioned that piquing your interest as a kid, because when I went on Space Mountain as a kid, there was this one particular asteroid that was projected on the wall that was spinning around. Some people said it looked like a chocolate chip cookie. To me, it always looked like a Millennium Falcon spinning out of control. So to me, it was always Star Wars related.
That's rad.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato. Do you guys both go on Star Tours?
Yeah.
Had you been on the new Star Tours, Randy?
I still haven't seen the new Jakku area.
It wasn't on everybody. It wasn't.
No.
When I went, they defaulted it to everybody because we went on it like four times that day, and it was Jakku every time.
For like 3 months or 6 months after The Force Awakens opened, every time you went on it, it was always Jakku, but now it's back to random.
Yeah, okay.
Mine was Kashyyyk and Naboo.
Ugh.
Mine,
is that the dumb one?
Mine was the Vader opening, Kashyyyk, and ending on Coruscant.
Who would you get for hologram? Is it Leia?
It was BB-8.
BB-8.
Oh, yeah. BB-8, too.
Got BB-8.
No Ackbar.
I got a Starspeeder 3000 or one Starspeeder 1000 toy for the action figures.
Nice.
The thing is gigantic, and it makes all sorts of sounds. It opens up, all the little doors open up, and it has a little Star Tours boarding sound, and it has seats in there with seat belts where you can strap down action figures in there. It's got a little spot where you can put Captain Rex, or if you're a fan of the modern Star Tours, you can seat C-3PO to pilot.
Were any of you the spy?
No. Generally, I've never seen them pick anybody other than a child.
Yeah. Oh, this one had ours had an adult.
Really?
Yeah, he was a hipster-looking dude. He looked like a traitor. And
you just ready to sell him out.
Yeah. I'm like, that guy, two rows back. Real piece of shit over there with the shapes cut in his facial hair. The
reeking of hemp.
Yeah. And then my sister, so I went with my family, and my sister had this awesome book of these mysteries of like hidden Mickeys.
Oh yeah,
throughout.
I'm familiar with that book.
Yeah, it was really cool. So we were finding them. There was one that was supposedly on Indiana Jones that we like just above the eye, like when you're not supposed to look at the.
Right.
There was supposed to be like a classic Mickey, and I didn't see jack shit. But I stared and stared and looked. Hoping to see
so
it.
The ride's your fault.
Yeah,
you're the asshole.
Yeah, yes. I looked, and but we did see them like in Haunted Mansion, like with the plates.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of cool. So it was a whole nother experience to a place that I had been 10,000 times and never even knew that this little hidden culture existed. So that was kind of fun.
It's kind of like when you watch a movie again after a long time and it's a drinking game, so you're looking for something so completely different. About Indiana Jones, there's also hidden Mickeys. When you're going through the dark tunnel and then there's all these skeletons that kind of like come out at you kind of thing, one of them's wearing a pair of Mickey ears.
Oh, right.
So there's another one in there, too.
Man, I gotta go again.
Go right now.
That's I love Indiana Jones, though. So, like, I rank it, what is it, Last Crusade, the Indiana Jones ride, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and then Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Well, you can kind of almost consider the ride as part of the movies.
I
because
think so.
They show you the newsreel at the beginning, and it's got Sala in it and everything.
That's fantastic.
I mean, it's already better than Temple of Doom.
I was on the Indiana Jones ride when it broke down, and we broke down on the bridge, and so they turn all the lights on. Like we got to walk out. It was pretty cool.
That's gnarly.
And
it's got the best line ever. I mean, there's so much to look at, and it's really fun.
Yeah, the only unfortunate thing I notice now is, like, the most interesting part of the line is the inside, and you kind of skip through that because they make it so that the fast pass entrance is right there at the beginning of the temple, so you don't actually have to wait in the queue for that all that area inside with the caves and
the ceiling that falls,
the ceiling that comes down with the spikes, and they used to give you these little decoder cards, like the first two or three years that the ride was open, and you could actually go through and read the hieroglyphics on the walls all throughout the temple. And it was just little hidden gems, that kind of thing. It was, you know, nothing that really helped you gain any understanding of the story or anything, but it was really fascinating, and it was a fun interactive thing because otherwise people were waiting 2 or 3 hours in line for this ride because it was brand new at the time. So they had to pass the time somehow. But.
Yeah.
I used to be able to read it all. I have like a stack of decoders, like, like 4 inches thick. The only letter that's like weird is the eyes are like they're the actual eyes.
Yeah,
oh, an eyeball.
Yeah, the other letters you can kind of.
Yeah,
make
if you kind of squint, you can kind of make out like, oh, that's an E, that's an
M. But
yeah,
the eyes are like eyeballs.
Yeah.
I just love that ride. Everything about that ride is awesome.
Another tidbit about that ride too: the truck out in front. You see like an old military cargo truck. That's the actual truck from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, nice.
From the Ark chase. That's the one that Harrison Ford was dragged underneath. It's actually on display there in the park, and there's nothing telling you that it is from the movie. And in fact, it's got like new paint job on the side of it saying something about the Lost Delta expedition or whatever, which is the one that found the temple. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't have any of the original markings from Raiders, but it is the truck.
Wow.
So if you're there and you're a fan of Raiders of the Lost Ark, such as me, get your picture taken with the truck. It's a piece of movie history.
Well, no flash photography.
Oh, and then there's right when the ride ends, there's this sort of a skeleton demon thing on the wall.
They project up there?
I don't remember that from 6 years ago. I don't know if it's
always been there.
Has it always been there?
Yeah.
Just
like
never
after
noticed
the snake
it.
And you wind down and you go down and there's all the skulls and you look up.
Never noticed that.
That's always been. Because it even like roars at you. It's like, rah!
Yeah. I'm like, how did I not notice that? Maybe that's new. I don't know. It's got to be new. That's what I was saying to myself.
I think one of the newest aspects of that ride, and sorry, this has kind of devolved into the Disneyland podcast. No, but when you're going through that one really dark tunnel, funny funny story. Two things I'm going to tell you. Number one, it's as dark as it is because they literally ran out of money to decorate the inside of the ride. So they're like, we're just going to have this big dark section.
How does Disney run out of money?
It's only illuminated because that ride cost like untold millions of dollars. It would cost so much.
Yeah, you drive for a while with the lights out.
Yeah.
And around a couple
just,
turns.
Why don't they just go to like the like eye of the forbidden if, money?
Yeah. If you were to go.
Yeah, just go with Justin. He looks.
If you were to go there and just walk through the ride and just take a flashlight or if they go through, if you have the lights on, that kind of thing. It's just these plain walls. It's just so boring looking. But it's because they ran out of money.
Paint's expensive.
Yeah. And I had another point I was going to make. I don't remember what the second point was.
We'll wait.
Oh, God.
Dark corner. Talk about the projection.
Oh, okay. The new thing. Okay. So the one thing that's reasonably new in that attraction is when you're going through that dark thing, there's like this little like mist kind of thing, and they project a branch with rats over it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not new. It's been there for like 10 years, but it wasn't there when the ride first opened. Oh. So that might feel different to you. So it's pretty cool because you actually go through it. So it's like right at head level.
First time I rode that ride, I remember I was, it was like 90, whatever, 4, 95, when it opened.
95, yeah.
Yeah, and we, when the little air shoots out like it's arrows, I ducked. Yeah. I totally ducked. I got scared.
I still duck at the end when you go under the rock.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm so afraid, like, I'm like, because, like, when you go down, I swear I can see it, and I'm like, so I just duck every time still to this day.
That's so funny. What a great ride. I'm like, telling you.
I'm like, I'm sure there's enough clearance to fit, like, I mean, I'm not, like, 8 feet tall.
I always go on that first to set the tone for my day.
Another fun tidbit about that ride. So one of my very favorite movie poster artists of all time, Drew Struzan, did artwork for the opening of the Indiana Jones attraction. And it's actually a characterization of Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, you know, cracking the whip in front of the temple. And that's the only time that one of the few items that actually has Harrison Ford's likeness on it that's in conjunction with the ride.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because in the newsreel, you just see like him from behind.
You see him from behind.
Run into the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only when you really see a Sala.
And then the animatronic Indiana.
Yeah, which doesn't really look like anybody.
It's just a general version.
Hey, get me out of here.
Yeah. But I'm okay with that.
Tourists. Yeah. Why did it have to be tourists?
Next time you're on your own.
You guys are on your own.
Yeah. It's like, thanks, Dick.
Like, well, you're the adventurer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love Indiana Jones, love Star Tours. My favorite, the planets are Geonosis, because it has another Death Star, and Jango Fett. It's pretty cool. Actually, it's Boba Fett, I think. I think it's Boba. It's actually Boba Fett.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because the one guy got his head chopped off.
No.
Jango is Sans head.
Are they all the same at the beginning now, where it's Darth Vader trying to stop you from leaving?
Because
there's different intros.
Yeah, there's two different ones. There's Darth Vader, and there's the Millennium Falcon with Darth Vader. And there's another one where it's like an Imperial droid, and he suction cups himself to the front window, and he's like got the little data pad looking for the guy. And he's like, whoa, that is the droid I'm looking for. And then as you take off in hyperspace, he's still like stuck on, he's trying to like pull himself off. And eventually he just like slipes off. And then there's four opening planets, and there's three closing planets, and then in between you get the hologram either from Leia, Yoda, Ackbar, and now BB-8.
Yeah, I wanna say that Boba Fett is somehow involved in it, because I remember at Disneyland they used to sell the action figure packs that had like characters from the ride. Some of them were even from like the video they make you watch, the safety video at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they had the Reese guy with the three eyes and the camera thing with the three lenses, and they actually put out a whole series of figures of that. And I remember they put out a Boba Fett pack. So at one point in time, he was somehow featured.
Yeah, because the opening is, it's now Jakku, Hoth, Tatooine, or Kashyyyk. And then the closers are Naboo, Coruscant, and Geonosis.
Now, the cool thing about Naboo, I don't know if they still do this, but does Jar Jar get stuck to your windshield and you like, windshield wiper him off?
I don't remember him getting stuck to the windshield. I remember a Wookiee getting stuck to the windshield.
Yeah, I had a Wookiee stuck to the windshield. Didn't they do
and
that
like
with Jar Jar?
Are like stuck on there for something like some. Yeah, Jar Jar, but it's not every time.
Oh, okay.
Like they added it when they added Jakku for Episode 7, and so it's not every Naboo.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because
I could have sworn I've seen that, but I know I haven't been there since they added Jakku. Maybe I saw somebody post it on YouTube or something.
I remember in the original safety video, Chewbacca was in the audience. They put on the glasses and they did the seatbelt and all that stuff. Fun. And well, then there's and like some, that nod some... to Short Circuit. There's still that one little droid guy in the line queue. Mm. He's not in the ride anymore. He's just in the queue.
Yeah. Captain Rex. Hmm. No more Pee Wee Herman.
I know.
Oh, sad. It's
sad. Yeah. It is sad. He's a more fun pilot than C-3PO. Yeah.
It's like, wait.
Yeah.
At least Rex got into it.
Yeah.
They actually made, it's turning into the Disneyland podcast, the Death Star 3 is actually a canonical piece of Star Wars now. They've worked the third Death Star, which is the Death Star that you go in Star Tours. It's now officially part of canon, like as of like last year.
What? Yeah. But we don't even have that adventure in Star Tours anymore. They don't even show that.
But
it's from the original.
It's part of canon. Yeah. Death Star 3.
They're ruining everything.
And it's but it's not a fully functioning Death Star. Like it's like the early prototype, and so it doesn't have the same functionality. Mm. So
you know what's funny is a lot of times the prototypes have the coolest shit.
Because you're not worried about safety regulations and stuff. Yeah. You're like, just put it all in there. We'll work it out. Yeah. Fix it in post.
This it's a one laser piloted Death Star. Yeah.
The laser is purple and has sparklers.
Yeah. One guy can do it all. The Death Decal.
Powered by Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, 2.0. But, yeah, so Super Bowl.
Yeah. We took a long road away from the Super Bowl.
We all love Star Wars.
That's all right. It was a good turn. It's a good turn. So we got a lot of good movie trailers during the Super Bowl. Some good, some not so good. Thought we'd talk about some of the highlights. And I know Justin is a huge Ghost in the Shell fan, and he liked seeing what was kind of naked Scarlett Johansson,
yeah.
But not a bodysuit, but... What am I looking at, Justin? Did you watch? Have you ever seen Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah, it was one of the first animes I ever really watched.
Can you explain it to us?
Yeah, so at least from what I remember, I mean, it's been at least 20 years since I've seen it, but it was her suit that allowed her to be, it was like an optic suit to where it can be camouflage. So by her wearing that dealio, she could just be like transparent.
Is she a person or is she a machine?
I think she's a machine. I don't know anymore. It's fuck, man. I literally watched it right when I went into college, and I saw it once, and that was it. I might not even paying attention. I might have been touching myself.
Randy, are you in on Ghost in the Shell?
I mean, it looks interesting. I don't know anything. I never saw the original anime, so I don't have any of that to go on. But I'll say it.
It's got Scarlett
Johansson very close to naked, so I mean that can't be a bad thing in any universe.
Pretty sure she's a robot though.
I'll take it.
Cool, and we got one for Transformers the last night, which Justin just informed us was is supposedly Michael Bay's last foray as director in a Transformers movie that we've heard him say two or three other times.
Yeah, but he does say I have a quote from him.
Ooh.
If you want me to read it.
Did you call him up?
I did.
Did he text you?
Yeah. Yeah, he texted the bat phone.
How many XOs are there at the end?
Oh, only one X and one O.
Ooh.
So what does that mean?
You're falling out of his graces.
Is that like a fist bump?
Yes, it's like, get on you. It's like a pat on the back.
No more dick pics from him.
Attaboy, yeah. It's bittersweet for me. With every Transformers film, I've said it would be my last, Bay wrote on his site. I've seen the 120 million fans around the world who see these movies, the huge theme park lines to the ride, and the amazing Make-A-Wish kids who visit my sets, and it somehow keeps drawing me back. I love doing these movies. This film was especially fun to shoot, but this time might really be it. So I'm blowing this one out.
Well, way to be non-committal there.
Yeah. I always say this, and it might be my last. It's highly definitive.
Oh,
I'm blowing this one out.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's the same thing they say that they're going to do to your colon when you go in. As a man, when you reach the ripe old age of about 45 or so, you start getting on a very intimate level with your doctor.
I think you're supposed to do it at 35, Randy.
Oh, shit. I'm 5 years late.
Using the whole fist there, Doc?
Yeah. I think that means that if it gets trounced critically, like the last
one.
He
always gets
trounced. Or if it underperforms, he'll be out. But if it, I just don't think he wants to give it up if it's, you know, still flourishing. And, you know, from what I've seen so far, from the footage that we've been able to see at events and stuff, I'm on board. Randy's going to be on board because there's Nazis and he likes to see a good Nazi robot fight.
I don't think I've ever seen one so
Nazi
far.
Robots?
I would love to see that.
Well,
there are Nazi robots?
No, well, there's Nazis and there's robots.
Oh,
yeah.
Are the Nazis riding the robots?
You know, not the clips that I saw. There were no Nazi, like Dino Riders. There was none of that.
What if it was like a submarine that turned into
like a U-boat?
Transformer? Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be fitting.
I think he just wrote the sequel.
Oh shit!
Yeah. As long as it doesn't do that while it's full of semen.
Oh, that could suck.
I was very, very down.
Just floating in the water afterwards.
I was very down on the last two Transformers, but this one's got me. I mean,
What's different about it?
I don't know.
Time travel. David loves time travel.
Are they traveling through time, or is it just a chronological series of events?
I think
events?
It's just a chronological series of events.
Huh.
But it seems to be a hard reset on the franchise. You know, Age of Extinction was kind of a reset because it went with Wahlberg over Shia LaBeouf. But this one seems to be even going farther in that direction. I like the idea of we're tired of these robots and they have to prove themselves again to us.
They got nothing to prove to me.
They're more than meets the eye. World. Yeah, but some people don't like that. Some people would say they only saved the world from the evils that they brought with them.
Oh, but they didn't bring them. Megatron was chasing after something.
Yeah, he's out the Allspark.
They followed him.
Yeah. But if they would have left. But then at the end of the first one, Optimus Prime calls out to everybody, like, hey, Transformers, come here. It's cool here.
That's
we got
true.
Toys.
I forgot about that.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message.
I don't know, man. I love the first one, and the second one's a lot of fun. Third one isn't as memorable, but I prefer Shia in my giant robot destructive movies.
Just like Mutt.
He's kind of a spaz, and that movie's kind of spazzy, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
His parents are the best.
Well, yeah. Between the parents and him, I mean, it's a lot of the heart that makes the first ones so good that I don't think they just ever recaptured after he left. Yeah. And in a way, three, you know, once Megan Fox went away, maybe that was it. maybe she's the linchpin that was holding the whole thing together.
Have you seen what Shia's doing now?
No.
He's got like a 24/7 webcam where he's like standing outside of like the U.S. Justice Building or something, just yelling at people as they pass by. Like,
yelling what?
Like anti-Trump stuff. Like people, like, so now Trump supporters are going to him, and so he gets like in their face, like, "We will not be." And I don't remember what he said.
Oh, man.
It's pretty nuts.
I saw Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
Yeah,
and it has been replaced.
Yeah, it's been vandalized a couple times. At one point, someone put a border fence around it.
Oh, that's funny.
And yeah, someone took a sledgehammer to it once.
I saw that. That was nuts.
Yeah, and shot video of it.
Yeah.
He set up like official workers' cones around it, like he was doing some road work or something.
Man.
Took a sledgehammer to that thing.
That is nuts.
In like the middle of the day, like it was like
afternoon. It was like 5 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
It was early, but it was people were around.
It was
people
light outside.
Crazy. Yeah. And I saw that Vivian Vance has a star now. I didn't know that. I remember there was a guy petitioning for her to get a star when I was a kid, and she was the only one out of Violet Lucy that did not have one. And I walked past it today. And I was like, I'll be damned. She got it. I was kind of excited.
Dreams
I'm not going to lie.
True.
Yeah.
It's like a change.org petition or something like that.
It petitions work. Who knew?
The one time. Then we got two trailers for the movie Life with Every Star in America.
Yes. Big names.
Yeah. We got Ryan Reynolds, Jake Gyllenhaal, Idris Elba, a couple other people. Justin, you in on this? Does it interest you?
The sci-fi nerd in me is excited about it, but it's weird when you put that many A-listers into a movie. It's hard to really separate them from the role. There's really only a few that are like downright chameleons where they can pull that off. But when I was watching the trailer, I was like, "Woo, Ryan Reynolds! Ooh, Jake Gyllenhaal! Ooh, Idris Elba! Ooh!" You know what I mean? So it was kind of like it's just like one of those ensemble casts where everyone's just so recognizable that it might not work.
I get a strong Alien vibe from it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, bad.
Not necessarily
happen.
In a bad way though.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it looks fascinating. It I want to see it.
Opening day, Randy?
Probably not.
And now, is that a theater movie for you guys, or is that a Redbox?
I mean, I try to see most things in the theater, but I'm spoiled because I get to go to screenings and stuff, so I don't have to pay for it. So
lucky son of a bitch. No, it seems like a theater movie to me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's space.
Yeah, it's space because it's cold and it's dark and it's scary. And if you're in a big room like that in a big theater,
it just seems
effect.
More immersive. You know,
I agree.
Yeah,
and for me, the theater is more like when I watch shit at home, I pause it and I go take a leak or I go make a sandwich or something like that. And it just like if I'm in the movie theater, there's nothing to break up the movie, and so my concentration is always on it. Yeah, you're trapped. I mean, not necessarily in a bad way, like you know, Creeper style, but. And when I'm at home, you know, there's just too many distractions. Like, I tend to look at my phone or something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's my big distraction. The phone's a big one. Yeah. I'm sitting there playing Star Wars Galaxy Heroes on my phone, and next thing you know, entire episodes of TV have gone by, and I have zero comprehension.
Yeah, you look up, and you have lost the thread of the movie. You're like, what is happening now?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things that if cinema wants to continue in the theater, they really need to push that, you know, come here, we'll trap you. In a good way. John Wick 2, Justin.
All over it. Can't wait.
The trailer was pretty fun because it started off like it was a 50 shades darker trailer, and then it was John Wick just kicking ass.
I could watch it all day. I just hope his dog doesn't die. Fuck, I hate that.
No, they're using the dog a bit too much in the marketing. I think he's going to make it.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to go to that dog and pony show again.
Yeah, that's too sad. I'm ready. Lots of bullets, lots of death, lots of comedy. And the soundtrack was incredible in the first one. I was just rocking out with my penis out the entire time that movie was playing. Fantastic.
And did we figure John Wick 1 was on Netflix? Did we determine that?
It's not, because if it was, I would have watched it.
Oh. Just go out of your way. There's other ways. Wink. That comes out this week.
Friday.
Really?
Friday.
Shit.
Just in time for Valentine's.
Well, yeah, I mean, Deadpool came out for Valentine's Day last year. So, why not?
Now, if there's a movie that Randy's been looking forward to forever, for the last 3 years, it's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Has it been 3 years already since the last one?
Was it 2015 or
2014?
Oh, yeah, my God. It has been.
So by the time it comes out, it'll be 3 years. What did you think of the trailer, Randy? As someone who... I know Justin and I just were gushing because we loved the property, but since you're kind of lukewarm on it, did you have a different reaction?
Meh, it was fine.
It was fine, not fun.
It was okay.
Do you think Drax is a little over the top?
Well, it seems like they're hedging their bets on him way more in this movie. They're giving him a lot more to do, a lot more one-liners, a lot more of the comedy is on his shoulders. So if it gets old after a while, or if people get tired of it, it's going to backfire in their face big time. Mm-hmm. But so far from what I've seen, it's enjoyable.
Baby Groot doesn't suck.
Yeah, it doesn't suck.
They're gonna sell a million Baby Groot little.
Oh,
stuff,
for sure,
guys.
For sure. Now, I'm actually as much as I shit on that movie, I do it playfully, and I am anxious to see it. I am looking forward to it.
It looks like they're adding those other like Nebula and what's his name, Hanzo, Hattori
Yondu.
Hanzo, Yondu, and
your best buddy Michael Rucker.
Yeah. And then the little chick with the antennae.
Mantis.
Yeah. They're going to be part of the group.
It looks like it. Got to grow the team so when we get into Infinity War, they can have a million people.
Yeah,
actually,
I think
Yondu's going to bite it in this one.
Oh, he'll do like a heroic deed.
I think so. He's trying to redeem. Well, you got to realize they're meeting up with Kurt Russell, who's Star-Lord's dad. And, you know, he asked him to bring Peter Quill to him when he was a kid. And they kind of blew him off. So he'll probably be pretty ticked. I imagine.
Like Skeletor mad at Beastman kind of way, or
yeah,
a little bit more hardcore.
Probably a little more hardcore, like
Hordak mad at Skeletor.
Yeah, exactly. I watched the Robot Chicken the other day that I hadn't seen in a while. Did you see the one where Beastman actually kills Skeletor? And Beastman actually kills He-Man, and Skeletor just freaks out, like, "Oh man, we're gonna get in so much trouble." He's like, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, what are they gonna do? What are they gonna do?" And so they're all freaking out and like trying to weaken Bernie's He-Man. He's not supposed to actually kill him.
That's rad. I'll have to YouTube it.
Yeah, you have to look it up at someone. And he's just as he's Skeletor just freaking out. He's like, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, what are we gonna do?"
Man, I used to think that they had the best job in the world, the Robot Chicken Gang.
Yeah,
that's so much work doing that shit.
Stop
though.
Motion, yeah.
I did. I swear to God, my 15-second video. I mean, you dabbled in stop motion a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
And I remember it taking me like 3 hours to do like this 15-second clip that was so shitty, amateur hour. My God, you just wasted your life, kind of stuff. It was funny, but it was bad.
Right.
It took me 3 months, like an entire summer of working every day on the stop motion short film that I did. For an 8-minute short.
Yeah, I believe it. That's brutal.
It was the very first award I ever won. Best animated film. But yeah, you gotta be completely committed to it. And no matter how much time, effort, and love you put into it, it could still turn out incredibly shitty.
Right.
Because mine wasn't that great. It was just such an edgy subject matter that people liked it.
I'm too clumsy.
My biggest problem was, like, my vision isn't great, and shots that I thought were in focus weren't. Mm-hmm. And you can't have... The second there's an out-of-shot focus used, it just throws it all off. It's like, well, that looks shitty. Mm-hmm. And it just takes you right out of it. Yeah. And that, I mean, obviously these guys are professionals, and I saw how terrible I was at it, but it was a daunting and exhausting experience.
That's why Leica's the only game in town anymore with that. They're pretty, if you watch some of their behind these, they're the ones who did like Kubo and the Two Strings, and they did like Box Trolls and
it's fucking insane.
Caroline and stuff like that. They have like a bunch of like time-lapse stuff, and so it almost looks like it's actually in real time because they just move the stuff so fast, and they have these enormous elaborate sets like two times the size of this garage and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I was using Legos pieces, whereas the guys that are doing this professionally have... You know, 14-inch dolls and stuff like that. It makes a hell of a difference.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So my hat is off to the stop-motion artists out there. You are amazing. And they have pins and needles and wires and all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah, everything's so posable. They got to change, like, facial expressions.
They're cheating as far as I'm concerned, but I'll give it to them.
It's, you know, it's a whole art that used to be way more people did, but now in the day of CG... you don't see as much stop motion anymore. So the people that are still dedicated to that art form, more power to them.
Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park killed it. Well, Tippett was going to stop motion animate all the dinosaurs, and all of a sudden some guy on ILM's like, you know, I think I might be able to do this in the computer. You want to give me a try? And Phil Tippett was like the first one. He's like, yeah, let's let him try and see what the kid can do. And no one knows.
Like, everyone's out of the job.
That was the two bullets into the skull of the stop motion world.
And it's been too long since we talked about Disneyland, so Randy, Pirates of the Caribbean 5, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, shit.
How excited are you for the return of this franchise that you love so much, including Part 4?
I am a sucker for the Pirates movies. Not necessarily Part 4 so much, but I like Pirates. We get to see Johnny Depp for the first time, which was kind of cool. And
since his court date?
Yeah, since he was beating up all those wenches.
What an asshole, man.
By wenches, you mean his wife.
Female pirate wench. I mean, it's all
allegedly.
Yeah,
those bruises are fake. Or he didn't do it.
Gonna have the pills for falling down the stairs.
Oh yeah.
I think it looks fun. I'll definitely see it. I didn't notice it until you pointed it out with a nice little freeze frame that we get to see.
Freeze frame.
Freaking Legolas.
Wheel turner.
Yeah.
Bootstraps. Still funny.
You even saw Bootstrap in the trailer.
So that was pretty cool. I knew he was going to be in it, but I didn't know we were going to see it in the trailer. So
we got some Barbossa.
Barbossa, yeah.
A nervous Nelly Barbossa. That's weird.
We got some undead sharks. I'm pretty excited about undead sharks.
And a seagull. Some undead seagull.
Yeah, like missing half of its, like the middle section of its leg. I'm like, how does its foot kind of, how does that happen? It's just missing the entire middle section. It's
ghost pirates, man.
I watched sea the trailer turtles. Twice and I couldn't get over its fucking leg. I kept rewatching the beginning.
I think you're focusing on the wrong part of the story.
It was late at night. I was laying in my bed staring at my phone.
Just wondering how the Falcons blew the Super Bowl.
This show is fake.
I threw the phone across the room going, God damn it. CGI Birds can't stand like that.
Birds gotta fly.
Yeah.
But it would have been great if it said mine.
Yeah, mine. Mine's turned fine.
I could have done without the Johnny Cash music, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Well, they had to copy Logan.
I know. And I love Johnny Cash. I love his music. But I believe this goes down the road of too much of a good thing. I don't think it's an appropriate movie to be using that.
It's kind of a weird mashup. Tor worked with Logan because Logan's kind of that Western and Western and country.
You know, yeah.
Hand in hand. This is a swashbuckling film.
And it's sort of like an end of time kind of song. Like, it was bad shit's going down. And I just don't... I'm more of a yo-ho, yo-ho kind of... The eerie version of that song always fit well with that
movie.
Yeah. And I think if... I was sitting in a theater and I heard that girl singing that song, it would have captured that moment and brought me right back to the Pyre franchise.
Yeah. I'm assuming we'll eventually, soon, probably before Beauty and the Beast, see a full trailer, and I hope that it's the Gore Verbinski, like, fast-paced.
Yeah, I like that song. That's a good song.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we don't really care for the third pirate movie so much. I mean, more so the fourth, but the third one, at the beginning when they're all getting hung and they start singing, and you guys know how I feel about singing in movies, but even that part still went really well with the movie.
Right. You like some singing.
Yeah.
Like that and The Hobbit.
Yeah. Pirates singing is always, it's always fun. That's what they do.
It's a sea shanty.
Yeah, shanties, exactly. gotta respect the shanty. They're cleaning the ship and singing along.
Just having a gale.
That's what pirates do.
Well, we talked about Logan a second ago, so we got a Logan trailer, but no Johnny Cash. This time we got Amazing Grace.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed to fit. You know, we didn't get a lot of new footage, but it's looking like old Patrick Stewart and... Hugh Jackman. Can't believe I forgot his name for a second. Looks like they're going to go on the bank. So Justin, what did you think of the new trailer for Logan?
Yeah, so I'm still really amped for this movie. We were talking about it over dinner the other night, where this one has the potential to be like one of the biggest standout comic book movies of this generation.
Yeah, Dark Knight style.
Yeah, like it's going to... I feel like this one has the potential to set itself apart from all the rest of the movies out there, taking the franchise to another level, and even the genre for that matter, to where it's taken seriously, and it'll still be fun, and it'll still be a wild ride, but when it's over, you're just going to say, holy shit, man, that was an incredible experience.
Nice swan song for Hugh Jackman.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't mean to Kanye West you here, Randy. I'm going to let you finish.
But I just, oh, shit. Does that make me Taylor Swift?
I just remembered.
Can I play with my titties?
Have you guys seen the clips of John Wick where he's got the pencil?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's hard. Have you seen him, Randy?
No.
Fuck. So he's totally like Joker in him. He's got like a pencil, puts something against the wall, and just slams the guy's head into it and stuff. Like,
oh, shit.
This movie's going to be pretty good. Sorry, Randy, Logan.
How can I follow that? I
got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. No. I agree with everything Justin said. Looks like it's going to be amazing, and I for one am very excited to see it. As to whether or not it's truly his swan song, I don't know, because I know, or I have heard that they're trying real hard. Or Ryan Reynolds is trying real hard to get him into Deadpool 2. So yeah. I would love personally to see that. But this seems like a really good way to send off that generation of the X-Men movie characters.
Yeah, as far as I could see him like doing like a walkthrough in Deadpool to where he wouldn't have to get in shape. Mm. I would love to see them work some shit out with the Avengers. Mm. I mean, I think Hugh Jackman would be down to doing something. And I don't know what it is, what his role would be, but I think it would be like the greatest bit of fan service if I don't need the other X-Men. They can just work Wolverine into like Avengers Infinity War Part 2 or something like that. It would just be, and keep it a total secret.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see it in the trailers or marketing. I don't want anyone to talk about it. I just want to be like surprised as shit when all of a sudden like there's stuff going down and you hear like skink and then... Mm-hmm. Fucking berserker rage.
Yeah, to me it just seems like those worlds are so far removed from one another that I have a hard time imagining them coming together.
But you would squeal with joy if it happened.
Of course, of course. Of course. And I realize that's kind of like the mutants are kind of like what the Inhumans are in the Avengers / S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, in the Marvel TV and cinematic universe, I get that. But I don't know, it's just there's such a different feel to the X-Men movies. It doesn't feel like it matches the MCU.
No, absolutely.
And like with as far as Deadpool goes, I feel like the X-Men timeline has been so wonky since the start of it that it would be weird to use that as an excuse to have him worked in there in the first place, since none of it ever really makes sense to begin with.
Yeah, I'd actually prefer if Hugh Jackman appears in Deadpool, not Wolverine, because he makes a lot. He makes more Hugh Jackman jokes and his Wolverine jokes.
Right. I mean,
that's fun.
Like he makes like sexiest man alive jokes and stuff like that. Like it'd be funny if like he's got to like save Hugh Jackman and Hugh Jackman's like this like just terrified like celebrity like all scared and Deadpool like saves his life or something and then he like shoots him or something. Maybe kneecaps him or something. But speaking of kneecaps, Fate of the Furious. Justin, is this going to be the entry into Fast and Furious that finally ruins it for you?
Oh, maybe. You know, I'm really excited to see it just because it's a lot of my favorite actors, action actors, in one movie. But Furious, or Fast 7, what was the last one called?
It was Furious 7.
Okay, Fast so 6. Furious 7 ended on such an incredible note that it seems absurd to continue the franchise. But whatever. If Vin Diesel thinks it's a good idea, then I don't see why I shouldn't give it a shot.
Well, $1.4 billion of box office is a pretty big allure to come.
Right, but I think he's able to set himself aside, and he takes it very personal, and it was his best friend that died. So, I mean, if he thinks that the franchise can live on, then I think that I should at least give it a chance.
Now, we got Statham coming in, and Statham killed Han Solo at the end of the movie, so now he's buddies with them?
He killed who?
Han guy? The
Oh.
It's Han Solo is his name, right?
Is it really?
Yeah, that's his name. His name's Han Solo.
No.
Hand to God. What? Han's last name is Solo.
What?
No. Swear to God.
IMDb that shit.
I'm an IMDb, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I was like,
I thought you were stroking. I thought he was stroking out. I was like, no, that was Kylo Ren that killed Han Solo. Different franchise altogether. We're all over here. Our eyes are gigantic. Just like, who's gonna be the one to tell him?
Pulling it up. Let's see.
Oh my God.
Oh. I'll go with Han, but yeah. I don't think Solo is his last name.
I swear, his last name is Solo.
Either way, well, I mean, the thing is, though, it's Statham teaming up with The Rock to bring down Dom. I mean, everyone else, I guess, knew Han and would probably be mad, but I think they get over shit quick.
Yeah, Han Solo, H-A-N-S-E-O-U-L dash O-H.
That's terrible.
Han Solo.
That's fucked. I mean, you know what? That it's cool. I appreciate Star Wars references wherever I can get them. So kudos for slipping that right past us.
Oh man.
But man, that's cheesy.
But yeah, he murdered like one of their best friends, and they're all supposed to just like be like, I'm upset with you, bro, but I guess I'll have to work with you.
Yeah, I gotta bring down Toretto.
Who's brainwashed / nanotech /
Oh yeah, we still don't know why he's a bad guy.
No.
Yeah, it seems kind of absurd.
Yeah. That's probably the one thing that turns me off the most about the movie is I mean, I'm sure they'll have some way of explaining it to us, but I'm watching for the same reason. It's like a cooler version of the Expendables. It's
right.
Like not the old version. And you know, we got Statham. I'd love if they brought Luke Evans back in the mix, Statham's brother. I'd love for Statham to be doing this as a way to like escape and free his brother, and to where the two of them could like unite and be like the main villain.
Well,
for
I mean,
Furious 9.
So his brother was in a coma and he's pretty much free because Jason Statham beat the shit out of every human being that was in that hospital. Mm-hmm. So he could have just taken him, but he needs him on those machines to keep him alive.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, speaking
Hopefully
of Luke
he
Evans,
gets better.
He looks just like fucking Gaston in that trailer. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I was a little sad he didn't sing. I wanted to hear some Gaston music.
Yeah. God, he's such a fucker, that Gaston.
Him and Josh Gad are going to, like, it Kill seemed it. Like they had, like, the best time making this movie.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I think they're going to be the standouts of this movie.
I believe it.
Yeah. All right, one more trailer. Randy's personal favorite, and going to be his movie of 2017, a little film called Baywatch.
I actually didn't see the trailer. I have nothing to contribute.
Oh my God.
I didn't
see
it.
Justin?
Yeah, I watched it.
It's got a pretty great stinger where at the end they have to go run off in Rockwell. Let's get ready. And they have like tearaway pants. So Rock pulls his off and he's got the traditional red trunks. And when Efron takes his off, he's got like an American flag Speedo. He's like, what the hell is that? Freedom.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, it's to me, that's a rental, but
yeah.
I know you're all about the comedies in the theaters.
Yeah, I mean, I love comedies. I mean,
I don't. I hate to laugh,
yeah,
Dave.
Me too. I mean, I could definitely see it as a Redbox or Netflix, but there's just so much There's just so much other shit out there that's like just action and like gore. Sometimes it's
when does Baywatch come out? Is that a summer movie?
Summer movie.
Seems like a summer movie.
Should be.
Yeah.
Get you ready for beach season.
Yeah.
Both Jump Street movies are great, and that's what they're going for.
Except my body looks nothing like The Rock or Efron, so it makes me a little timid to go to the beach.
Zac Efron is a very pretty man.
He is a beautiful man.
He's like the go-to good-looking comic now that Gosling's doing serious movies. Serious. Like Crazy Stupid Love with Steve Carell, which is an amazing movie if you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
It's like 4 years old. It's got a young Emma Stone.
Young.
Younger.
She's so old.
It's got, I mean, like teenage. And so it's got Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, Steve Carell.
Or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like but in the movie, she was like in her 20s from like law school or something.
She was in her 20s.
Oh,
in
Crazy
Zombie
Stupid Love?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So she would be in her 20s.
Okay. That what he said.
She's in high school and
she's Hannah. Spider-Man.
Easy A.
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Okay. She's cute.
Easy A. Yeah, that was.
I like that movie.
Yeah, I like that one too.
She's a harlot.
Yeah. I guess I'm a harlot.
That's funny.
All right, so that was all the trailers. Did any of them stand out to you to make you more excited or less excited to see their films?
I don't think so, because I've seen all the trailers already. They were more like TV spots than anything else. If it was like a lot of times, the first trailer you ever get is at the Super Bowl ad, then that would have more weight. I think with Pirates, I guess in a way it was more footage.
The reveal of Depp.
Yeah, Depp and... was it Will Turner?
Yeah,
but I didn't even notice him until you said something.
$5 million a minute. That's what the ads went for in Super Bowl.
Oh,
that's what what's his name who directed Moonlight was like. You could do a minute commercial or make a whole movie.
Yeah, no kidding. That's brutal. So for me, no, not really. I'm excited to see almost every single movie that you mentioned. So
net neutral for you too, Randy?
Yeah, I'm pretty neutral.
What about you?
Yeah. Nothing blew me away. It wasn't like nothing that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew we weren't going to get like Star Wars. I was kind of surprised we didn't get Beauty and the Beast, but I guess it's not the audience. That movie's going to make a lot of money.
$1 billion.
We're going to do some box office predictions on
that's,
that one in a couple Dr. weeks.
Dr. Evil money.
Yeah, $1 billion. That's really not a lot of money. But we did get a couple little tidbits of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. The embargo on a lot of the set visits dropped, and so we learned that Thanos will not be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, first of all, and that he will be arguably the main character in Avengers Infinity War. So Kevin Feige kind of hinted that it's a different kind of movie, it's a different kind of focus, so maybe we're not going to see your traditional good guys versus bad guys, maybe we're going to see a film told from the point of view of the bad guy? It'd be kind of cool if like the first movie is just like about him getting his gems back, killing Vision, taking that gem out of his head, and then the second
one's going to happen?
I mean, he's got to get the gem somehow.
That's true. Is he going to make it to Earth?
Who, Thanos?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. Like I said, I hope this first movie is him just, like, laying siege. Like, you guys all thought I was a shitty villain.
Right. And so the only thing that's interesting about Earth to him would be the gem on Vision, right? Because well, Earth itself isn't... considering they're in this whole another... opened up this whole universe of villains and just... how insignificant Earth is, I would imagine that the only thing that's exciting about it for him is that one of the Infinity Stones is there.
Well, a couple of them are there, because, I guess they took Loki's Scepter, but didn't someone get it back? Is Loki's Scepter still on Earth?
I don't know the answer to that.
So Loki's Scepter has one, and that's I think that's on Earth. Vision has the one in his head, that's on Earth. Guardians of the Galaxy put the one on Xandor, wherever those Xandorians are from.
And then Thor 2, they took it to the Collector.
Yeah. He's got to go get some of those.
Oh.
So, yeah. Who knows? Could be fun. And so we still haven't seen Kurt Russell at all in any promotional material for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Do you think they save Kurt Russell as the living planet for the film?
I don't know what that looks like.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine it like... I just
want to see his giant head floating in space.
Just kind of rotating, going upside down. I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean that's what Eagle the Planet, Living Planet looks like. It's like a circular planet, and it's just got a face on it.
Mm-hmm.
Except this face is going to be curved.
Like the moon in the Legend of Zelda games.
Yeah.
You know, the angry moon face.
Except it's Kurt Russell, so it won't be angry. It'll
got a,
be
maybe
like,
it got a patch and a wider mustache.
That's kind of cool.
Sold.
And it's Captain Ron patch, though, so he's wearing it on the good eye, so the bad eye's exposed.
When he's sleeping. He's light out.
Holy shit. What a finding, man.
Yeah, so... So, yeah, should be exciting. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be a summer hit. Randy's even going to like it.
Ooh.
What Randy doesn't like is Ben Affleck not directing The Batman. Now, we were away last week when the news broke, so maybe we'll chat about that for a little bit. Randy, are you sad that Ben Affleck is no longer directing The Batman, but he's still starring in it and executive producing it?
Well, as for now, he's still starring in it, but if things keep going down the shitter the way it almost kind of seems that they are for the DC Cinematic Universe right now, yeah, I have heard people talk about, well, what happens if Affleck walks.
They got to have an ironclad contract with him because I mean, he's already, by that point, he's going to be in at least two films.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
If he doesn't show up in Wonder Woman or Aquaman in some capacity.
Yeah. I think if he's doing it for the reason of, look, I want to concentrate on acting in this. I want to give the performance my all. I want to put everything on the screen and not have to be bogged down with the mental responsibilities of directing. Then I say he's doing it for the right reasons. But it's still disconcerting when you hear that the reason that he left is because of the fact that they can't get their shit together and come up with a decent script. That to me says, well, if he's leaving, they're just going to dump it on somebody else's lap who isn't as picky, you know? So right. It's not necessarily going to get any better. It's just like, well, here's somebody who will do it in its current state.
Yeah, know? I mean, in his statement, he was towing the line because, you know, Affleck's bread and butter is Warner Brothers. That's who produces all of his films and stuff like that. So he's not going to outright say they're pieces of shit. But he basically, like, towed the line of what you were saying, Randy. He said, there are certain characters who hold a special place in the heart of millions. Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they require. Together with the studio, I have decided to find a partner and a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I am still in this, and we are making it, but we are currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to the project and look forward to bringing this to life for fans around the world. Justin, read between the lines on that one there.
He's contractually obligated to film this movie.
Sounds like it. Yep.
Warner Brothers lawyers are better than Affleck's.
Yeah, he's not going to waste his money fighting it.
Yeah, he still gets to be Batman, and I'm sure he'll have a lot of say. It just sounds like that Warner Brothers decided Geoff Johns was the way to go instead of Affleck, which is a shame.
So let's talk about that for a second. So Geoff Johns is obviously a pro storyteller, but telling a story in a comic book is a lot different than telling a story in a motion picture show.
Right.
There's certain beats that need to be met. There's you only have so many pages to pull it off. And maybe you could argue that Affleck's, 30 years of filmmaking is a little bit more...
Right.
On par with the project than what this comic book creator can do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could argue both ways. I think that they could both have a lot to learn from each other. And I obviously have no idea what goes on behind closed doors, but I think they both have valid input. And perhaps maybe Geoff Johns pitches the idea and then the filmmakers find a way to make it work.
Right. It reminds me a lot of like Sin City, you know. Rodriguez and Frank Miller directed that movie, and then Frank Miller went to direct his own movie, and he made The Spirit, which is a terrible film.
Oh, so bad.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's...
But that's a dumb property, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's definitely the mechanics of filmmaking Affleck knows. Affleck understands, you know, what it takes to make a film to where Geoff Johns made it.
And they're able to make 2-hour-plus comic book movies, too, and that's what it takes. It's hard to really cram it into a 90-minute movie. You need those extra minutes to really get everyone involved.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want it to feel rushed. The villain needs to make sense. And honestly, that's a lot of times that's where Marvel slips is with the villains. You know, you always say that Loki's the best villain in Marvel, at least in the movies.
Right.
And I think that's 100% true. Any other villain that we're dealing with doesn't have a leg to stand on. They're not given any time to develop. And they're just a throwaway character when it's all said and done. It's more about bringing the team or the hero into his own. and the villain is always the weakest point in those movies. So this has a potential to be a very human story, and Batman embracing who he is and doing his thing and fighting a guy that is, you know, also fearless and loves striking the hearts of men and all that other nonsense. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough story to tell.
Right.
And it could be a great, you know, 4-issue comic book, but is it going to be a great 2-hour movie?
Yeah, I just want some really good combat between Deathstroke and Batman. I think mm-hmm. that'd be cool. It's so great. Now that we're in person, I can see what Randy does when he gets really bored and doesn't care what we're talking about. Usually he just gets real quiet in the podcast.
And it's been a fun podcast, too.
And we assume he's just playing on his phone or touching it or something like that.
He's like, oh, I have you guys muted. I was muted. Sorry. I was talking this whole time.
Yeah. I'm currently muted now.
Oh, fucker.
Well, we pulled up they announced the shortlist for who may replace Ben Affleck as director, and we got George Miller, who, of course, did the Fury Road and then the Mad Max films. We have Matt Reeves, who did the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Cloverfield.
And Cloverfield. We have Gavin O'Connor, who did Warrior, Justin's favorite movie. We got Denis Villeneuve.
favorite movie. It's a good movie. And he also did The Accountant, which is an Affleck movie,
yeah,
mind you.
Which is fair at best. Villeneuve, of course, did Arrival, Prisoner, Sicario. A very talented filmmaker. Maybe he would bring Bradford Young. I would love to see Bradford Young shoot a Batman movie. If he's done with Han Solo in time. And then Matt Ross, who did Mr. Fantastic, Captain Fantastic, sorry, the Viggo Mortensen film.
That stretchy son of a bitch.
Randy, since I know you're paying attention, which of these 5 filmmakers stand out, and do you remember any of their names?
Well, personally, I'd like to see George Miller do it, just because I'm such a big fan of the Mad Max movies.
For $5, Randy, can you name me another one of these filmmakers that I said?
Joe Fuckstick.
Circle gets the square.
No, but honestly, that's the only one that I care about in terms of the context of this movie.
All right, Justin.
Well, Fury Road was pretty badass. I could picture the Batmobile with fucking Batman on top with a guitar and fire coming out of it. When I was at Disneyland, when I was looking at all those strollers, I thought I'd been so badass if there was like a Mad Max themed stroller with just all kinds of cool shit coming off of it.
The war babies. Yeah. My concern with George Miller is that he's a very vibrant and colorful filmmaker, and Batman's really dark and saturated.
Mm. Well, unless you go the old Batman and Robin route.
Oh man, no, don't bite your tongue.
That's kind of a bad word around here.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that the dark, gritty filmmaking of Villeneuve or maybe even Matt Reeves would.
But George Miller wasn't always the vibrant.
Well, I mean, like Babe, Pig in the City, you know, that's a very colorful. Most of his other films are pretty lambasted with color. He's very stylized, which is great.
I think Batman should be stylized, though.
Yeah.
I would argue that. It's a comic book.
Exactly.
Shut up. You can't just chime every 2 seconds from your phone.
And, I mean, I think it works. I mean, I know that Nolan made a very grounded Batman universe. But even for me, it always felt weird when Batman was out in the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Right, like in Rising.
Like just kind of hanging out and nobody notices.
I hate that.
Yeah. I don't know. It always seemed kind of weird to me. I love the movies, but every time I was like, man. Fuck, the sun's out a lot in these movies. And the costume looks like dog shit in the daytime.
Yeah. It's mostly only Dark Knight Rises. He's usually in the dark the rest of the time
I don't even know if it is daytime, but I felt like it was when he goes to the bank that Joker robs at the beginning and he's investigating the crime scene. It's really light in that room, and that made it feel like it was daytime to me. Right. The bank was robbed in the day. All those police showed up right after he leaves. So I'm led to believe that only an hour or two has gone by since Batman has shown up. But I could be wrong. Either way, it's weird that he was out in the daytime.
Right, with his neck that doesn't move properly.
So I'm okay. I mean, the first stylized Batman that we really got was Tim Burton. It felt very weird. It felt very cool. It was like it could be in the 30s, but it's obviously in the 80s. But their clothes suggested otherwise. The cars suggested otherwise. I mean, even when you watch Batman the Animated Series, it's totally mooching off the Tim Burton vibe.
Right.
And it makes perfect sense. Yeah. There's fucking blimps and shit.
Yeah, I think Burton set the tone. And everyone, with the exception of that Hapwit Schumacher, followed suit.
Mm-hmm. Cops with revolvers. Yeah. I love that. That's so cool. That's just a different era of police.
Even the villains had revolvers.
Yeah, that's cool.
Eckhart, think about the future.
I always think of you, because he's just all like, you know, he's got the hat and like the coat and everything. You guys look nothing alike, but I always just think of, man, Van Dyke would love that Eckhart.
Love that Joker.
It's so funny.
So is this cause for concern, Randy, for Batman? Is DC just totally just fucking everything up?
I mean, I would definitely consider it a red flag. But until we get any more information, there's no bother why bother speculating? Fuck it.
Will you give them till Justice League, Justin, to see if they can write this shit?
Yeah, I'm really excited for Justice League. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to crush fucking...
Puss.
Batman.
Definitely that, too.
Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad.
Now... How is your anticipation for Justice League compared to, I don't know if you can remember your anticipation for Batman v Superman through the taint that it has become? I remember that we were all pretty sky high on Batman v Superman for a while.
We were, and I was totally pumped for Batman v Superman, and it wasn't until Lex Luthor's first scene that I really just started cringing in my seat. I loved the beginning when Bruce was trying to save whatever he could. While Superman was flying about destroying everything, I was like, fuck, this movie's intense. And then Lex. And I was like, son of a bitch, I hate this movie.
And why is the boss at Lex, or not Lex Corp, but Wayne Enterprises, waiting for Bruce Wayne to call him and tell him you guys can leave?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? They're just like hanging out and like, still, no, stick to your spreadsheets and do what you gotta do.
Just keep working, it'll pass. Yeah. It's like a storm.
The whole fucking city is just getting destroyed. It made no sense. Yeah. Yeah,
Bruce Wayne has to personally call them and say,
take the day off.
Half day, but I'm not paying you.
Make sure they clock out. Yeah. Oh, man. But I was pretty pumped.
Yeah.
I was excited for what, I mean, two of the biggest names in DC were going to be in a movie together. And I feel like that's something that we've always wanted, and it was neat. So, and when we saw the costumes at Comic-Con, we got our first look at what Batman's suit looked like. I was like, holy shit, man, that looks good. Because they were so cloak and dagger on the trailers. Remember, you didn't really get any reveals. And it wasn't until I think we were at Celebration that we finally got an actual trailer for Batman v Superman. So
then when you get on that Star Wars hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it came out on my birthday. And I remember being so excited. My whole family was going to go. We got advance tickets. And then I went to my screening. And I saw it. And I'm like... fuck, I have tickets to see this thing again.
you're outside the theater. Tickets, I need tickets.
I got sell more. Shit. And then my older son fell asleep through like slept like the whole movie.
Yeah,
to this day, he's like, I didn't.
I've tried watch. Okay, so I've watched it three times now, and it is not good.
No, it is no.
It has its moments. I like watching Batman beat the shit out of people when he's going to save Martha, and he's just. Fucking bruising,
he slams
everybody.
The guy's head into the ground.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. Yeah,
he murders some fuckers in this movie.
And then the fight between the two of them is pretty good.
Yeah, no,
it's kind of got a Dragon Ball Z vibe to it, but
it's got a lame ending. But other than that,
I dig it.
Yeah. Well, this weekend is going to be the first big battle of 2017 for box office supremacy. We have three huge movies coming out. We have the Batman Lego movie. We have 50 Shades Darker, which I know is Randy's favorite movie coming out this year of 2017. And we have John Wick Chapter 2. So I thought it'd be fun to determine what order we would rank them in the box office wise. So I guess we'll start with you, Justin. What order do you think they end the box office? And do they go 1, 2, 3? Or will, you know, right now Split has been, it's third week in the box office. It made, I want to say, $16 million this week. So it's probably looking to make, you know, $10 million next week. So hopefully, you would think that the three of them would all make over $10 million for the Valentine's Day weekend.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll be Lego Batman, then 50, and then John Wick. I would prefer John Wick probably be on top of that list. That's what I'm going to go see. I'm really excited for it, but just knowing people, I would say Lego Batman's they're going to crush it. And then 50 Shades is just one of those movies that has a certain demographic where it's going to be ladies' night and it's going to do very well.
You have to put towels down at the theater.
I think this weekend is going to be its big weekend and that's it. I think it'll fall off the face of the earth the following weekend. But John Wick will do, I think it'll still do pretty well. Everyone's pretty popular. I have yet to meet a human being that saw John Wick and didn't like it.
Yeah. It's definitely a movie that found a life after its theatrical
run. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that and got a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. I know Dread found a life after it was released, and it's probably not going to get a sequel, and that's okay.
Right.
But everyone that saw that really enjoyed it, too. So it's really great that, you know, people were able to latch onto this one and make it happen.
I don't know if Randy's at a save point yet in his game that he's been playing the last 15 minutes. You free to talk, Randy? Are we interrupting
hit me.
You? What order do you think these movies are going to finish, Randy?
I think it's going to be the Batman Lego movie, and I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to say that John Wick is going to be 2, and then I'm going to say 50 Shades is going to be 3, because I'm an optimist, and that's how I'd like to see the world right now.
Have both of you seen 50 Shades of Grey, the movie?
No.
No, technically I have not.
What?
I've seen part of it. I saw part of a bootleg,
like on like Pornhub or something like that.
Yeah, no,
it's a train wreck from start to finish.
Is it really like just poorly made?
Like, I mean, yeah, it's terribly. Like, you remember how like the first Twilight movie, like, just didn't look fully polished.
I like the first.
I know. I actually like the, but like it's got a different look. Like, I actually enjoyed the first Twilight. That was my first foray into Twilight. I didn't read the books, and I was surprised. Don't hate, but. Yeah, it's got this weird sheen to it. And the
Charlie acting, Sheen?
Yeah, Charlie Sheen. And the actors are terrible. Charlie Sheen, if he played both parts, it would have been a million times
just
better.
Just a one-man show?
Like, you should just watch... Like, the guy who plays Christian is just... It would be like if we were playing it. Like, just like... It'd be like, Anastasia, I want you to come on my boat with me. And that was, like, the best take that Catherine Hardwick decided she had. I don't know. Maybe it's because she directed both of them. Maybe that's why.
I forgot she did that movie.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm pulling the Twilight comparison.
Is she doing the second one?
No, she had a big fight with E.L. Fudge. Is that the girl's name? No, it's not E.L. Fudge.
I think that's a cookie.
What? E.L.
It's
something.
Like fucking Keebler and shit.
Who wrote this shit?
E.L. Fudge? You know, the little guy who lives in a tree and makes cookies.
Han Solo!
E.L. James, sorry. E.L. James wrote it.
I want to know somebody actually named Fudge.
She had a fight with the author.
Yeah, she didn't get her and the author butted heads during the process, and so the author, when for the next two movies, has not full creative control, but she has an enormous amount of creative control, and they basically needed to hire a director that would placate her. So I'm thinking that we'll see a noticeable dip as well in this film. But I'm gonna go the same order that Justin did: Lego Batman, 50 Shades, and John Wick. And I think that the next week it will go Batman and then 50 Shades, and John Wick will switch. I think that 50 Shades is a one and done. I think it's the moms will get out there, they'll watch it opening weekend, and then
be done with it.
Yeah, you know, it'll drift away. That the first one that did that, it had, I think, it was $54 million its first weekend, and then it had like 18 its second weekend. So it completely had died off. Lego Batman movie, I think, is going to be a tour de force. It looks pretty good. I think it could make it late into February, maybe even to the beginning of March, to be dethroned by Logan, which comes out on the 3rd.
When does Beauty and the Beast come out?
Beauty and the Beast comes out the 14th of March.
Oh, okay. So Logan will get number one, hopefully.
Yeah, Logan comes out the 3rd, and I believe Beauty and the Beast comes out the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. But yeah, so I think Lego Batman will hold it for a couple weeks, and I think it looks great. I think Will Arnett is my favorite Batman.
Adam West is mine, so I can't say much.
Wow, y'all some bold Batman choosing motherfuckers right now.
Who's your favorite Batman, Randy?
God damn it, I'm probably gonna go Michael Keaton.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I thought you were gonna go Val Kilmer.
I like Val Kilmer. I thought he was a decent Batman, and I actually kind of like that movie.
I do too.
I like Batman Forever.
Batman
and Robin can suck a dick, but Batman Forever, dude, it's got Seal on the soundtrack.
Is it Jim Carrey's amazing performances, Edward E. Nygma, or is it your Tommy Lee Jones?
It's boiling acid!
We couldn't have predicted, but we should have. The second Bank of Gotham on his second anniversary. The first line of that film is, "Can I persuade you to take a sandwich, Master Bruce?" "No, I'll get dragged through."
That's pretty good.
You fuckers.
He's stimulating the economy. He is helping business in Gotham.
Oh, okay. Because the sandwiches grow on trees, and he didn't stimulate the economy that way.
Yeah. You put Grissom behind bars, and the people will show up.
Aren't you glad we did this live?
I do.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I mean, Randy lost wood 20 minutes ago.
I know, and I had to wear pants.
Yeah, that's true. I had to wear pants and set up a table.
It's okay. If you keep sucking, like, in the next 5-10 minutes, I should be able to get it up again.
Oh.
Promises, promises. I know. I've been fooled before. I know it's an empty gesture.
Mm.
But anything to add before we say goodbye and adios for probably our best sounding podcast?
Probably.
Since there's no Skype stuff.
Or crickets.
There's no crickets. It, which is funny because we're all recording from the place where the crickets usually are.
I think they're terrified that there's 3 humans in their space now.
They're like, oh my God, they're growing. They're multiplying.
Mm,
and we have to rely on garage internet.
I got nothing. Thank you for hosting me. I'm glad to be back in sunny SoCal, even though it rained most of the days I was here.
Yeah, it rained 2 days, didn't it?
Rained on the way up to Visalia.
Did it?
And it rained on the way down to Twin Palms, and it rained after Disneyland, and it rained today.
But it's probably warmer raining here than it is not raining in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, it's snowing there right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're awful.
Yeah,
everyone's,
I'm happy.
Everyone's snapping me.
Just stay down here. Just stay down here.
Yeah,
I'm happy to do so.
Stay on my couch for a week, then Rain's couch for a week. Let's go back and forth.
We're in the process of moving, so we're clearing out a lot of stuff.
And then I can get squatter's rights at your place after you sell it.
Maybe.
Yeah, just hole up in a room.
Mm.
What you should do before Randy sells it is wall off the office so they don't think it's a room there.
Yeah.
And they just live there. Yeah.
It's got
know.
A bathroom
it's
and
got
everything.
A bathroom, yeah.
And a little refrigerator.
How did I get
and,
out?
And a Boba
window.
Fett?
You'll have to take a ladder, rope ladder out the window.
You're like that guy on Haunted Mansion that's bricking himself?
Yeah.
just
enough for one arm and a little spatula thing.
Yeah, a little, what is that called?
Spade.
A brick shovel? A spade?
Maybe it's, I don't know.
They're called spades.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'm happy to be back in the Dave Cave over here.
Yeah, we got to do it more often.
Although, I got to say, my eyes are drawn to this bike behind you with these gigantic fucking airplane tires.
Hey, you like that?
What is that?
That's my bike.
Holy fuck. That okay, you know like in Formula One racers how they have like those giant-ass tires in the back and the little itty-bitty ones in the front? Mm-hmm. These look like you just took Formula One tires and put them on a bicycle. It's awesome looking. It looks badass. It looks intimidating as F.
It looks like it's never been ridden. It's got the little rubbery things on the sides of the tires.
It is pretty new. I got it at the very end of the summer, and so I've only been ridden like 4 times probably.
That's a cool-looking bike. I dig that a lot.
Zachary's green bike is brand new from yesterday.
Very cool. No, I've been looking at this thing the whole show going, I haven't ridden a bike in like 25 years, but goddamn, I want to jump on.
Is it because it's enormous and orange?
Maybe. I don't know.
Tires are pumped. You can take it out for a ride, Randy.
Oh, man, I'd kill myself, especially on these wet streets.
Riding a bike's easy. It's just like riding a bike. Everyone's all like, it's easy. It's like riding a bike.
Only your neck.
Yeah, we can do strip. Riding bikes. But I'm glad we got to do this. So thanks for joining us for the very special episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. As always, make sure you listen to all the transfixed by what Randy was talking about for a second. Randy distracted me. Make sure you listen to all, you know what, Randy, why don't you take us out today?
Be sure to listen to all the other podcasts on the fabulous Geek Legacy Network. We've got the Pixelated Podcast with a couple of fucks. And then we got one about goddamn comic books with a couple of more fucks. And clearly you can tell I am out of fucks. And like us on Facebook. Leave us a review on iTunes. Apparently.
You hit shift too many times.
Oh my God.
Oh, stop it.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're going to ruin everything.
Oh, now I can't stop.
And then I think that's going to take us out this week, guys. And we'll see you next week.